Well, good morning, saints.
Morning.
Oh, it's so good to see you this morning. To see your bright and smiling faces on this wonderful Sunday morning. Amen?
Amen.
I'll tell you what, folks. After a while, when Jesus comes, we'll all be fellowshipping in heaven. And I think that's a wonderful thing. Amen? We want to welcome you to our service this morning. If you are a visitor, if you would please fill out that visitor card there in front of you, or if you have a prayer request, you can fill out that prayer request card and give that to the ushers as well. Our scripture this morning comes from 1 Peter chapter 5, and it's verses 6 through 11. Listen for God's word. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who calls you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, gracious and merciful Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for this blessed Sunday morning that was not promised to us. It was by your grace and mercy that we're here, that we're sitting down, that we're breathing, that we're here, Lord, to worship you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his sacrifice, and we thank you, Lord, for the hope that you have given us through him. And we ask, Lord, that you would be with us in our service. That, Lord, that you would bless each one here today. But more than that, Lord, help us to be a blessing to someone else. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. At this time, would you pass the peace with each other by simply waving at each other? We won't have you moving around too much. If you're brave enough to hug, that's even better. All right? Amen.
Church.
Good morning.
Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for Bible characters who, just like us, were imperfect in many ways, yet found a new way to live through an encounter with you. Jesus, in this world today, shine on us, we pray, with your glorious light and show us the way to glorify you through our friendships. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Would you stand for our opening hymn? Fair is Lord Jesus. Fair. Lord Jesus. makes the woeful heart to sing. There is the sunshine, there is still the moonlight, and all the twinkling starry host. Jesus shines brighter, Jesus shines purer than all the angels ever can boast.
Congregation, please be seated.
As we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, let us go to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, you are the source, you are the giver. All that we have becomes a gift from your hand. Help us to see your bounty in all around us rather than to see the ugliness that so often we dwell in. We ask, Lord, that you open our hearts so that we can be the cheerful givers that you so desire. Let us give from our bounty, and let us give with a smile on our face. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today's reading is Luke 19, 1 through 10, Luke 23, verses 20 to 23, and Matthew 27. This is Zacchaeus the tax collector. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short and could not see over the crowd, so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down here immediately. I must stay at your house today." But he came down at once and welcomed him back. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be with the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here now I give half of my possessions to the poor. If I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. That moment the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks. This is the word of the Lord.
Therefore God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above all names. So at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. All is for the glory of God.
Amen.
Let us pray. Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds at this time as we seek the message that you, your Spirit has given to Pastor Ted. And we ask that you strengthen Pastor Ted, that you give him courage to speak your words. And let and open our ears so that we may hear the message that you would have for each of us today. Let your Spirit fill our hearts. And further, Lord, when we leave this place, let us be so full of the Lord, of the love for the Lord of life, that we will spread your word to a hurting world. These things we ask in the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
While the children are coming this morning, I have an announcement I want to make.
I have something for each one of you. Let me give you one. Oops, sorry. And then we can open up. We can start opening them up. Let's see what they are. Aren't they beautiful? Aren't they beautiful? Is it beautiful? Here's why all those faces? It's not beautiful? It's crumbled. Sorry, I tried my best to get it here and it didn't. How about you give me those back and I'll give you something else? Let me see. Let me see what else I have in this bag. Let me see. Is it beautiful? Oh, not beautiful. Not beautiful. All right, let's try. Let's try this. Here they are. Here's some beautiful ones. Oh, not this one. All right, let's try. I think there's there. Let me see. Got another one here. Here we are. Oh, are those beautiful now? All right. So we're talking about Zacchaeus. Do y'all know who Zacchaeus is? Did everybody just love him? They don't like tax? Cheated people. Dead. Took advantage. Let's see if that happens. Well, I guess those hearts, the first ones, they weren't a great gift. But we have new ones now. And so that might seem a bit strange, but did you know that God does that to our lives? He is in the heart-changing business. This is not about a card. It's not about a physical heart or like a transplant when they cut your body open. A changed heart is about an attitude, a motivation on the inside. It's about how you think and how you feel. When you know Jesus and what he has done for you, it really can give you a change of heart. So in today's story, we talk about a man, Zacchaeus. He already told us about him, right? So after the meeting, Jesus left. His life couldn't go back to the way it was. He promised that he had cheated someone. He would pay them back extra money. He turned his act around I bet that he had more friends as a result. What do y'all think? Yes. All right. So he at least had one good friend, Jesus. And we can have Jesus in our lives too. You know, his love, change of hearts, and tell others all about him. So just remember that even if some people make bad choices, we can always have a change of heart, right? Always seeking God, always sharing the good news that God has shared with us. So let's say a prayer. Dear God, thank you for making us special and for loving each and every one of us. Help us to share the love with one another and to make our hearts new. Thank you for your love. We love you, God. Thank you for Jesus. In his name. Y'all have a wonderful Sunday, guys.
Good morning. I got to tell you this morning, I'm excited about we get to kick off a new preaching series for 4 weeks starting today. The name of that series is called Following Jesus. Following Jesus. We've heard all about the resurrection story. We've heard about his death and how he rose again. Now it's time to follow the Lord. We know who he is and what he can do. Now it's time for us to get behind him and follow him and be good disciples. You know, so over the next few weeks, I want you to either connect with Jesus for the first time, depending on how your relationship with him is, and I want you to get ready to be encouraged and challenged to passionately follow Jesus. So let's get into our message. Have you ever noticed how distance changes our perspective of something? You see, our first impressions of something can be different at a distance than it is up close. Think of a time when you saw a friend or someone you knew from a distance, and then as you started waving and making a fool out of yourself, and then as you got closer and closer, you got embarrassed as you realized that it wasn't your friend. Or maybe you thought some food looked pretty good at a distance, but lost your appetite as you got close or you took the first bite. So, you know what, folks? Sometimes our relationship with the Lord is the same. Some of us have a distorted view or understanding of God, one reason or another. They only observe or see Jesus from afar. So I want to start with a story of a man whose view of Jesus was distorted because of distance and because of his height in this case. But I tell you this, everything changed when he allowed Jesus to come close. So our title this morning is The Heart of Heaven. The Heart of Heaven, or Come Close. And our story is in Luke 19, 1 through 10. And Laura's already read that scripture. You know that story. So I'm not going to read that again. But I will say this. It's a power-packed story. It's a power-packed story. And among many of our Lord's parables and interactions, and when people display, this is how the heart of heaven is displayed. First of all, this is an emotion-packed story. Not because, maybe because he was short, but Zacchaeus was a Jew, and he was in partnership with the oppressors of that time, the Romans. And not only was he a tax collector, he was a chief tax collector. That means that he had some tax collectors up under him. He was also very, very wealthy. He was very good at his job, and in doing this, he was robbing his own people. And his people hated him. He was wealthy. But so when he hears when Jesus is coming to town, You know, he probably assumed that Jesus wouldn't want anything to do with him. So he gets up in a tree. He climbs up in a sycamore tree just to see the Lord. He didn't want any interaction with him. He just wanted to see the Lord. You see, he had probably heard about all the things the Lord had done previously headed toward his way. And he had seen and heard about how he had healed the sick and made the blind to see. So he wanted to see what the ruckus was. You know what, folks? But he was looking at Jesus from afar off. The sad truth is, with many folks today, we settled for that type of Christianity and religion. You see, we want to see, but we don't want any connection or interaction. So Zacchaeus, he assumes Jesus would just keep walking by, he's not going to see me. But when Jesus gets to him, he says, he does the unthinkable. He stops, he looks straight at him and says, Zacchaeus, come on down. I'm coming to stay at your house. Now, I could imagine that Zacchaeus was shocked, and he responds by accepting the Lord's invitation to come to his house. And this is where all the changes made. I'll keep saying this because I believe this with all my heart. Whenever you have an encounter with the Lord, everything changes. Nothing will ever be the same. So when the Lord, he comes to Zacchaeus' house, he's moved from distant rumors and stories. He's got Jesus right here at his dinner table, lounging in for a meal. And we see his life is fully transformed with one encounter with Jesus. He goes from a stingy and withholding to giving and generous. Wow. But this transformation happened to Zacchaeus, but it also happens throughout the Bible and history. You see, and this is the theme of God not wanting to stay at a distance for us, but he wants to come close. This is the central theme of Scripture, and it shows the very heart of heaven. The cry of the heart of God is to bring you and me close again. Have you ever talked to someone and felt like, you know, they were getting bored of the conversation and their eyes started to shift away from you and they're looking around and maybe looking at the other person? You know, okay, I'm tired of talking to Ted. I'm tired of listening to him. You know, I'm going to look for a better conversation. Well, here's some great news for you, folks. God never, ever felt that way about you. Not even once. Not even once. He's not trying to get out of a conversation with you. He's trying to get into a relationship and a conversation with you. And one of the greatest examples of this is when Jesus is on the cross. He's being crucified for the sins of the world. And in all the agony of the moment, you know, and all that he would have to have on his mind, and all the physical pain that he felt, there is something that he said and something that happened that should ever, ever solidify in your heart God's intention to be close to you. To set the stage, remember that when our Lord was being crucified, he was on the cross in the middle of two other criminals. And they were also, you know, being crucified, and they were thieves, and they were being punished for the crimes they had committed. And right in the middle of our Lord's most agonizing moment of Jesus' human life, one of the criminals asked him a question. This is found in Luke 23:40-43. It says, but the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said, since you are under the same sentence? He said, we're punished justly. We deserve what we're getting. But this man has done nothing wrong. And then he said this to Jesus. He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus answered him with this, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Now this exchange of Jesus and the man on the cross next to him is hard to comprehend. You see, not only does Jesus take the time to listen and respond to him, which speaks to Jesus has a great heart for people, for me and you, but the criminal had the audacity, the nerve to ask to be remembered. And that's got to be pretty shocking with all that he's done and all that Jesus is right in the middle of. He has the guts and with a big request. But what's even more incredible, dear one, or unthinkable, is our Lord's response to him. He could have said something like this: with all that you've done, my friend, and all the people you hurt, how could you possibly think that I would even remember you? But that's not what the Lord does. He doesn't even say something like this: well, we'll see if there's space after I consider all the nice old women and the small children. He actually says something very amazing and wild, which speaks directly to the phrase I said earlier about the heart of heaven. This is unbelievable, and it's great news. The man on the cross, he provides the perfect example of what Jesus was there to do, to bring humanity close again to be with him. And then, a short while later, when Jesus is about to die on the cross and exchange our sins for his righteousness, something else powerful happens right after his death. And this is found in Matthew 20, 50 through 51. He says, and when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And at that moment, the temple was torn from top to bottom. It's great that temple was torn right then. God didn't wait for the next day. He tore it right then. He split that curtain. And the split second after he did, he paid the price for our sins. He split that curtain for us for eternity, because that curtain is an example, was in the holy temple, and it separated the holy of holies from the most holy. And when he split that that curtain, it says that now we can come close to God through our Lord. You know, so if you weren't sure before, I want you to know that God definitely wants you to be close. You know, that's not a nice thing to say. That is literal closeness with you that God desires. And Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2:13. He says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see, it is in and through Jesus that we now can come close to God. But unfortunately, folks, the sad reality is that many folks settle for distances when Jesus paid everything to bring us up so close. So I just want to look at two key things here before we close. Why do we often stay at a distance from God? We stay at a distance from God because we feel guilty. We feel guilty, and there's sin in our life. We don't want folks to know. We don't want God to know what we're going through. But I got to tell you, folks, he already knows. The other point that I want to make about coming close to Jesus is, you know, we don't see the Lord the way we should. We don't see the Lord. We don't see the Lord how he really is. And this keeps us at a distance from him. There's a powerful, powerful story in the book of Luke about the wayward son. And in this story, the son goes off to spend all his money. He asked his dad for his inheritance, for his money. His daddy gave him his money, and away he went. He spent all his money. His friends left him. He ended up eating hog food. He finally come to himself. I suppose I would too if I had to eat hog food for any length of time. And he says, you know what? I'm going home. I'm going home to see my daddy. My daddy's got he's got the fatted calf, and he's got all these things. His hired hands will eat better. But you know what I got to do? I'm ashamed of what I've done. I took all that money, and I shouldn't have. I squandered my wealth. But what he didn't know, his daddy had been evermore looking for him, watching for him as he come down the road. And when the young man, he rehearsed what he was going to say, he says, well, you know, I'm going to say this. I'm going to tell him this. But he didn't know the heart that his dad had for him. And this heart is the very heart of heaven. You know, and when he gets close, as he gets closer and closer, he sees his dad's face. He doesn't see anger. What he sees is happiness. He sees compassion. And the young man, he is welcomed back into his family. This is the way Jesus wants us to see him, as a loving and kind father. One who's not standing there is going to beat you down. He's going to lift you up. He's not going to discourage you. He's going to encourage you. He's not going to leave you the way you are. He's going to make you a new creation. So don't stay away from the Lord. Run to him. Run to the Lord. He wants you and he loves you very much. Now, as I close this morning, there's a wonderful story in Revelation 3:21. Jesus talks about this.
Each of us has something on their heart that is either a joy or a sorrow. Don't let embarrassment, don't let hesitation keep you from coming forward to the Lord. The rail is here. If you need quiet prayer time, it is available. If you need prayers from us, they are available also. But come closer to the Lord. Please stand.
Seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, confess our sins before God and one another. First before God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be your mediator. Sure. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love.
We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Give us, we pray. We ask for joyful obedience. We trust Christ alone.
Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 holy Lord, God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory, with them in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit.
On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Hey, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory. Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
Amen.
And now, with the confidence of children of God, let us pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass.
Not temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
for the power,
glory forever.
We did the Lord's Prayer during the time of communion. So I ask that you bow with me. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sickness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal rest. Prayer of St. Francis, one that always has meaning for me. You have heard the charge, drawn closer to God during this time. And I pray that the presence of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, will remain with you throughout this week, that you will be his instrument. Go now. Amen. And again, if you would like to take one or two of the roses up here, please do.